To recall, the Gemara quoted a Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, a Stam Mishnah in the fourth parak, that Nisach HaMayim takes place for 7 days, from the first day of Sukkot to the seventh day of Sukkot. And the Gemara was trying to figure out who the author of that Mishnah was, and it pointed out that it can't be Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that you mention Gevurah Kishamim Mashvach Mor Geshem as quoted in the Braisa on Beis Mabeis from day six, because that's the drasha that he had concerning Nisach HaMayim, so the connection between the Nisach HaMayim and the Mashvach Mor Geshem, the Askaras Gevurah Kishamim. The same Braisa recorded Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who darshins from the Mayim, Mem Yud Mem, on the second, sixth, and seventh days of Sukkot. And from there he derives Nisach HaMayim. For from there the Braisa says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra maintains that you start Mashvach Mor Geshem from the second day. So the Braisa is making a link between Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's and Rabbi Akiva's respective views about when you start mentioning Mashvach Mor Geshem, whether on day two or day six, to the drasha that they derive Nisach HaMayim from. So Tosfos just elaborates as to what the kasha is about. If it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, then that does not seem to be compatible with the Stam Mishnah that Nisach HaMayim is 7 days, because the Gemara is assuming that if Yehuda ben Becerra darshins 2, 6, 7, as a result of that he starts Mashiv Ruach Mor Geshem from the second day, that it must be that Nisach HaMayim also starts from that second day. To read the Tosfos inside, I Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Amar B'Sheni B'Chag Hu Maskir, that you start saying Mashiv Ruach Mor Geshem from the second day of Sukkot. And again, that's because of the drasha of the Mem Yud Mem, which starts on day two. So then, this is a quote from the Gemara, our Gemara, Gimel Aleph, Shis Yomi Havu. So then Nisach HaMayim is going to be 6 days, as Tosfos now proceeds to explain, Im Kain, if so, Lo Ya Nisuch Ki Im Shisha Yomim. That the Nisuch shouldn't be for more than the 6 days, again, from day two to day seven. Again, Tosfos' main point is that the Braisa on Beis Mabeis had started presenting a shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra concerning when you start saying Mashvach Mor Geshem, that you start saying it from day two. The Braisa never explicitly stated that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Nisach HaMayim is from day two through day seven. Certainly alluded to by the fact that Mashvach Mor Geshem is being linked to the drasha of Nisach HaMayim, which starts in day two. So if we're even starting Mashvach Mor Geshem from day two because of that, so it could very well follow that the Nisach HaMayim itself starts from day two, because that's when the drasha begins, from day two. But it doesn't automatically follow, so that's what Tosfos points out. That's the premise of our Gemara. Again, the Mishnah in Sukkah that says a full 7 days. Our Gemara states that that Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra because of his view concerning Mashvach Mor Geshem. Ultimately, what the Gemara is driving at is because his view of Mashvach Mor Geshem from day two is premised on his view that Nisach HaMayim is from day two as well, which in turn is based on the fact that his drasha comes from the Mem Yud Mem. The same analysis would apply to Rabbi Akiva concerning the fact that his drasha was from day six, where it says on a sechel. As a result of that, he has us saying Mashvach Mor Geshem from day six, and as a result of that, Gemara would be assuming that Rabbi Akiva would hold that Nisach HaMayim is only 2 days, and also would not be able to be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah, that it's a full 7 days. Tosfos, for some reason, only comments on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and not Rabbi Akiva, even though in the Gemara, the suggestion that it's Rabbi Akiva came first. Rashi comments on Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos only comments on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Somewhat of a mystery to me as to why he only commented on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Tosfos de Maschil Esenetios. The Gemara, in the conclusion, in explaining the basis of the Mishnah in Sukkah, that Nisach HaMayim is a full 7 days, from the first day of Sukkot to the seventh day of Sukkot, points out that, notwithstanding the fact that according to Yehuda ben Becerra, it should follow that if you start on day two, and it should only be 6 days, as we mentioned earlier, and according to Bakiva, since the drasha is on day six, it should only be 2 days, but the author of that Mishnah, according to another Girsa, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, that would be everybody, that Nisach HaMayim is actually Halacha Mosh Sinai. It's a full 7 days. And the Gemara proceeds to record a statement of Rabbi Ami in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Nechunya, Ish Bikas Beis Chorton, that there are three halachas of Moshe Sinai. As we shall see, we're going to learn that those halachas of Moshe Sinai are somewhat linked. There's Esen Etios, Arava, and Nisach HaMayim. So, Nisach HaMayim is exactly why the Gemara quoted it here, to explain that Nisach HaMayim is halacha of Moshe Sinai for a full 7 days, but the Gemara does not elaborate as to what Esen Etios is. So, Rashi explains a little bit, Tosfos elaborates a little further as to what the Esen Etios are. general topic is the topic of Shemitah as to when avodas hakarka, work on the land, can be done. Esenetios, Pirish Rashi. Here the Bach just adds in a few words here. Esenetios, hamifuzaros, extra letter hey. You have 10 saplings, that's an etia, as opposed to a tree, which is an older tree, that are spread out, beveitza, in the measurement of a beitza, which is 50 by 50 amos. So the halacha of esenetios is choresh kol beitza bishvilon, that you're able to plow the entire 50 by 50 amma square, or if there are several units of that, of the proportion of 10 etios to each beitza, so you're allowed to do harisha on all of those areas of the field, bishvilon, because of the netios. Dechol netia yonekes, because each sapling gets nourishment from the ground. And the assumption is that with that proportion of the 10 netios across the beisa, that all of the field has to be plowed in order to properly care for those trees. Tosis elaborates, v'dafka mi beisa hayatzarech lehem. It's only if you have a beit saw that all of that is necessary for the nourishment of the trees, to plow that area. If the 10 saplings would be spread out in an area more than a beit saw, then you wouldn't have a permit to plow the whole field, because it wouldn't be necessary, because of the yanika, the deriving of the nourishment that the tree is getting from the ground would only be proportionate to if you had 10 trees in a beit saw. And hence, it wouldn't be necessary to plow the entire area of the beit saw to properly care for the trees, but only the area that would be closer to the trees, as we shall see later on in the Tosis. So Tosis explains, what are we talking about here? Plowing during Shemitah Zasar. So he explains, Yochel Acharosh ad Rosh Hashanah shel Shviyis, that plowing during Shemitah, of course, is Zasar, but there is a halach l'Moshe Sinai, which is part of this list of the three halachas Moshe Sinai of Esen Etios, that you're not allowed to work the field to some extent during Erev Shviyis as well, in the sixth year, which is known as Tosefes Shviyis. So that's what Tosefes points out, that there's a halacha Moshe Sinai within that Isser, that you're not allowed to go all the way up to Rosh Hashanah in doing Avodas HaKarka, but you are allowed to go all the way up to Rosh Hashanah when you're dealing with Etzenetios that are in an area of a Beit Saw. Tosefes now explains the basis behind this halacha. Tahavu Shapir Ukmi Ilana Shori. This is a good example of preserving the tree. This is an expression that appears at the beginning of Moed Katan, dealing with the laws of Shemitah there, distinguishing between Ukmi Ilana and Avruye Ilana. Ukmi Ilana is preserving the tree, Avruye Ilana is making the tree produce more fruit, but it would not die even without it. So Tos points out that by plowing the whole Beit Saw for the Netias, that's an example of Ukmi Ilana, and that's the reason behind that halach l'Moshe Sinai of being able to plow the whole field for them. Tosis contrasts that, Avo Yosem Ibeisa, if the 10 saplings are, as we mentioned earlier, sparser, spread out in an area of more than a Beisa, so then what is the halacha? That you're not allowed to do anything? Or you're allowed to do it in a limited way? So Tosis says, you're allowed to do it, but in a limited way. Eino choresh ela kidei tzorkam. You're allowed to plow the minimum that's necessary for them. So some of the Rishonim and the Mishnayis, and I saw this in the Derech Amuna by Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, that it's based on a Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Shviyis in a somewhat different context, that you're allowed to plow kidei meloha ore v'salo, the area of the ore is the one who would be plucking the fruits off of the tree. So the amount that's necessary for him to fit together with his basket, which might be what Tosis is driving at also, of Kedei Tzorkan, although Tosis doesn't quite spell that out. There's a Rashi in Masechta Sukkah, where this also appears, who gives a different share of Kedei Tzorkan. We're not going to go into that now. Tosis explains why you're not allowed to plow the whole Beit Saw if it's spread out more than 10 trees per Beit Saw. The whole of Uzaros Beyosin Beit Saw, Since if the 10 saplings are spread out in an area more than a Beit Saw, Kaimi Shapir, they will be able to survive even with a plowing just around them. So now Tosis notes on what's the story if it's denser, if you have more than 10 trees per Beit Saw, or the 10 trees are concentrated in an area that is less than a Beit Saw. The Tosis explains, V'pachz mikan loma kaimi, v'le oker kaimi. So here in the Ozvara Gemara, they quote various achronim who change the girsa somewhat to make it read more smoothly. Not lama kaimi, but lo kaimi. They will not survive. Or another alternate girsa with lamed mem, as an abbreviation, would be lo matzu kaimi. They cannot survive. Vileoker kaimi, and therefore they're going to be uprooted. Meaning, if the trees are denser, they're going to each impinge on the other's yinika, on the other's nourishment, and ultimately they're going to die. So therefore, you're not going to have the permit to plow the whole area until Rosh Hashanah, because these trees are basically destined to be uprooted. Are you allowed to do anything? Tosfos leaves it as a mystery. So here again, the Derech Emunah quotes a discussion about whether maybe even in that case you're allowed to plow the minimum, or maybe in that case you're not allowed to plow at all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. So now Tosfos, once discussing this topic of the Esen Atiyos, just gives us a summary of the general halachos of Tosefes Shvius as they apply to various kinds of fields. The Dafka Natiyos, it's only Natiyos, meaning the saplings. And that's the Halacha Moshe Sinai, about the saplings that you're allowed to plow as in Natiyos that are in an area of a Beit Sa all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. The Dafka Natiyos, Amar, the Chorshin Bishvilon Ad Rosh Hashanah, that you're allowed to plow for their purpose all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. Aval Ilonos, but trees, meaning older trees that are no longer considered saplings, Asada Raisa, call Elul. Then it's Asim in a Torah to plow in Chodesh Elul. Again, this is based on Sugya in Moed Katan that Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us that the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai of Tosefes Shvius on a Torah level would be the one who's not able to do work in the field in Chodesh Elul, meaning 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, it's Asim in a Torah. So comes along the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai itself and has a permit that for Natios, you're allowed to plow them all the way up until Rosh Hashanah, and you don't have to have that 30-day Tosefes of Elul. And that's why the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai is formulated as Eser Natios. It's a special kula that dafka with the saplings, you can go up to Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to full-grown trees, where you could only plow in a Torah up until Elul. So now Tosis Ed, based on Mishnayos in the first parak of Masechet Shvius, Umid the Rabbanan, Pesach Vatzeres, Tikkun, there is an extra safeguard of a Tosefes of up until Pesach, or up until Atzeres, of course, Shavuos, the special takana for there. And how does that subdivide? So Tosfos further elaborate, again, based on the Mishnayos in the first parak and the beginning of the second parak in Shvius, B'stei HaLavan Ad Pesach. Stei HaLavan refers to a field of craps. That's why it's called Lavan, because Chaim Kanievsky's work, because there's no shade. So therefore it's called Stei HaLavan, literally a white field, with the crops like wheat, etc. So there you're allowed to plow until Pesach, ad Pesach mutar, that there you're allowed to plow until Pesach. Avon mi Pesach olahalan oser, but from Pesach onward it's oser. Ustei ilan, a field of trees. Again, we're talking now about full-grown trees. Ad atzeres, so there you can go further, all the way up until Shavuos, you're allowed to plow mutar, it's allowed, mikan ve'elach oser. So, in sum, we start with Halach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai of Tosefes Shvius, that you're not allowed to work the fields for 30 days. And then we have a rabbinic enhancement that for a field of crops, or a field that crops will be planted in, you're allowed to plow up until Pesach, midrabbanan, and further away from the Torah idea of Elul. And for full-grown trees, you're allowed to plow the field until Atzeres. And for Esen Atiyos, we have Halach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai that allows us to go all the way up until Rosh Hashanah itself, of Shemitah, of Shvius, and the Chachamim did not make a gzeira there that you're not allowed to do so earlier. As a footnote to this Tosfos, just two extra comments. One is the fact that he quotes Rashi in the definition of Natios, that they're spread out across a Beit Sa, etc., and then Tosfos further elaborates on the words of Rashi. We mentioned at the very beginning of our introduction of Masechta Tainis that the Meratz Chayes assumes, as a result of the fact that the many Tosfos in here that seem to say exactly what Rashi says, so it's likely that Tosfos did not have a Rashi. But this Tosfos seems to contradict that, because here Tosfos quotes Rashi. So in the Masifta, they point out, not necessarily, because Rashi wrote in other Masechtas, and this Braisa about the Esen Atiyos and the Arava and the Nizch HaMayim appears in a few other places in Shas. So it could be that Tosfos is quoting Rashi in Masechta Sukkah, or elsewhere in this regard. And it's not really a proof that Tosfos necessarily had our commentary in Masechta Tainis. The second comment is that it's just interesting that the Gemara in Moed Katan derives that Halach L'Maisa Bizmanenu, we don't really have any of these halachas of Tosefes Shmita, and therefore we don't have to stop Avodas Hakarka, working the land 30 days beforehand, and Midrabanan, we don't have to stop for a crop field at Pesach or for a mature tree field at Atzeres. And the basis behind that is that since Ibn Chunya Ish Bikas Beis Chartan teaches these three halachas of Moshe Sinai together, Esen Atiyas, Arava, Nis Chamayim, even though two out of the three are related because they're related to Sukkos. But why is Esen Atiyas listed in this list? So the assumption the Gemara makes in Moed Katan is that because you're meant to learn one from the other. So just like Arava around the Mizbeach is a Halacha Moshe Sinai only applies in the Mikdash. And the same with Nisach HaMayim, only applies in the Mikdash. So the Esen Atiyas, we derive from that, so to speak, Hekish of the Braisa, that the halachas are being compared, is that idea of Tosefes Shemitah, that applies regarding other things. And the Esen Atiyas are an exception to the rule, that the Tosefes Shemitah doesn't apply to them, and you could plow all the way until Rosh Hashanah, that only applies Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. When the Beis HaMikdash is around, there was no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. So then this halacha also will not apply. So that's the halacha maisa. Baruch Hashem, we're in a Shemitah year now. So about the halachas of Tosefes Shemitah don't apply bizmanenu, absent the Beis HaMikdash. Taizdi Maskal Rava. Again, as part of that trilogy of the three halachas of Moshe Sinai, Esen Atiyas, Arava, Nis Chamayim. So Nis Chamayim, we know, the pouring of the water for 7 days. Esen Atiyas, we discussed in the previous Taisus, the 10 saplings that are in a Beis Sa, that you could plow it all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. So what is meant by Arava? So Tosfos explains that, of course, Arava is referring to the Mikdash, Shema Kifin Es HaMizbeach. There was a debate in Masechet HaSukkah as to what that means. Either it means that they surrounded the Mizbeach with the Arava, that they leaned it on the Mizbeach, Makifin from the language of surround, or Makifin from the language of Akafa, that part of the Halacha Moshe Sinai was also that they made a parade around the Mizbeach, similar to what we do in Shul, with the Lulav, around the Bima. Benizach HaMayim, this is back to that Braisa, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Kulhu, they're all Halachas L'Moshe Misinai. So those of Hara, they point out that some have a Gersa in Tosfos, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Kol Shiva. And that's what Tosfos is adding to this Braisa, that both Arava and Nisach HaMayim are both applicable for the full 7 days. Tosfos V'maskel V'yomer Eliyahu HaTishbi M'teshove Gilad. The Gemara brought up the idea that Tal never stops, and therefore got involved in the whole story of Eliyahu HaNavi swearing that there wouldn't be rain in the days of Achav or Russia as a result of the fact that Klal Yisrael were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and that even though Eliyahu HaNavi had mentioned that there wouldn't be Tal either, but the Gemara is medayik from the Psukim, that the Tal actually never stopped because Tal doesn't stop. And of course, as a result of that, Halach L'maisa, that the mentioning of Tal in Shimon Esrei, whether you mention it or you don't mention it, it's not Ma'akiv. So Tosis tangentially mentions, based on that pasuk, Leo Hatishbi Mitoshavi Gilad, that where exactly was he from and what exactly is the meaning of Toshavi Gilad? The Tosfos is right. Lachach Nikra Mitoshavi Gilad, for the following reason is he called from the residence of Gilad. Presumably, what Tosfos is bothered by, why can't it just say? Because he was from the region called Gilad, which is an Eva Hayardain, which was divided between part went to Menashe and part went to Reuven and Gad. So why not just say, that's why it's called Mitoshavi Gilad? Why does Tosfos have to go further? So it could be, I was looking at some of the Mefarshim on Tanakh, some of the more recent Perushim, that normally you speak about Miyoshvei Gilad, not Mitoshavi Gilad. Toshav sometimes has the specific connotation, sometimes used in the context of a Ger Toshav, or a Toshav as opposed to a Ger. Why would we refer to Eliyahu HaNavi as a specific as Toshav, rather than just Miyoshvei Gilad, you know, those who live in Gilad? Perhaps even simpler, the Pasuk could have said, Vayam Eliyahu HaTishbi Min HaGilad. Why did it have to say Mitoshavi Gilad? So, but whatever is bothering Tosfos, Tosfos wants to make more of the phrase Toshavi Gilad, rather than just the fact that he lived in that region. So Tosfos explained, Lefi Shehargi Yisrael Anshe Yavish Gilad Al Maisa Pilegesh Begiva. Since the Bnei Yisrael wiped out the entire city and the residents of Yavish Gilad because of the episode of Pilegesh Begiva. To give the background, they weren't the ones that actually sinned, but again, the terrible tragedy of the man whose Pilegesh was viciously attacked by members of the tribe Binyamin, and Klal Yisrael declared a civil war against Binyamin because they weren't handing over the criminals, and many, many Jews were killed on both sides, and in the end they swore that Binyamin would not be able to intermarry with any of the other tribes, and there were only several hundred men left from Binyamin, and all the other men of Binyamin and all the women of Binyamin were all killed out. So After a bit of time, Klal Yisrael regretted that one whole tribe will be cut off from Klal Yisrael Chalila. So they got together and they hatched the following plot. It was a city called Yovish Gilad in Eivah Yarden, and they had not joined the civil war, even though they had made an oath that everyone had to come to the war, and anyone who wouldn't come, they would be eliminated. So they pulled that promise, they pulled that oath, and they attacked the city of Yovish Gilad, wiped out the whole city, but they preserved 400 women. And those 400 women became the wives of the remaining Binyaminite men, and therefore Binyamin was able to repopulate. Very tragic story of Jewish history. So Tosis, now based on that, is suggesting that Eliyahu Navi was exactly from that town. Tosis continue, V'lo nishar b'yovish gilad ki'im at anoshim, that as a result of the whole town being wiped out, there were only a few men who survived that eradication. And who were they? Min ha'miyushavim be'ir, from the ones who, hard to know exactly what Tosis is driving at, literally the ones who were settled in the city. Perhaps he means the noblemen of the city. Ki kol ha'sha'ar hayu im asafsuf, or perhaps am asafsuf. All the rest of the residents were the rabble. Of course, the pulling of the phrase in the Chumash, v'asafsuf asher b'kibom, is the Erev Rav. Hard to imagine that Tosis means literally the Erev Rav who lived in Yovish Gilad, although perhaps I think one of the commentaries suggests he actually means that they were from the Erev Rav. So according to this, it would mean that Eliyahu Navi was pure blood from Klal Yisrael. Perhaps Tosis is using it somewhat in a borrowed way, that the Mishavim were the noble people, and here by Asafsuf he means the lowlives, the lower strata of the city. But either way, Tosis is assuming that Eliyahu Navi was Mitoshavei Gilad, hence the idea of Miyushav. That's why he uses that fancier phrase of Toshavim, as Tosis now states, Lachach Meir, therefore testifies Ki Eliyahu Min HaToshavim. He was from the Toshavim, again, either the nobleman or from Klal Yisrael, as opposed to the Erev Rav, and therefore he survived. And that's the idea of Toshavim, perhaps as opposed to Yoshvei Gilad. Quite a creative interpretation. And Tosis identifies where he got it from, Kach Shamati, Mehari Truti, Mishem Hari Ben Rav Yitzchak Mimalum. Based on this quote and other Tosin as well, so the scholars point out that these Tosin are pretty late, that these names are not so common in the earlier Tosin, that this particular collection of Tosin Tainis was probably written even as late as perhaps the 14th century, as opposed to the other Tosin, which were in the 12th and the 13th centuries. Just as a contrast, the Mefarshim note that Rashi on Tanakh points out that Eliyahu HaTishbi means he was from the town of Toshev, and that's why he's called Tishbi. So obviously, according to that Rashi, he was not from the town of Yovish Gilad. So Rashi presumably would read the Pasuk as he was from the town of Toshev, and he was dwelling in Gilad. Either that's where the town of Toshev was, and Toshev is the city, and Gilad is the region, or that, as some commentaries say, he originally was from Toshev, and then he lived in Gilad. But Tosis doesn't comment on Tishbi, but comments on Toshavei Gilad, that the specific usage of the word Toshav means that he was of the, again, either noblemen or pure bloods of Yovish Gilad, which had been eliminated except for several people. I saw in the Masifta Gemara, I just asked Kasha on this Tosis, that the simple reading of the Psukim are that the entire Yovish Gilad was wiped out except for 400 women. According to Tosis, that's not accurate. 400 women were saved and some men, and one of them was Eliyahu Navi. So somewhat of a tzorachian and distosis, how we interpret those explicit verses in Tanakh that seem to not be in accordance with their interpretation. The Gemara points out that since Tal never stops and winds never stop, so therefore the Chachamim never obligated us to say that. Not in the summer, not in the winter. And if you mention it, you mention it. If not, not. Either way, it's good. So Tosis just explains what that would mean, the mentioning of those ideas. Mashav ruach u'mor hatal chule. Mashav ruach would be mentioning ruach, mor hatal would be mentioning tal. Lefichach, therefore, enk pei the lomar mor hatal afilu b'mosachama. Based on this, there's no specific rule requiring saying mor hatal even in the summer. Ach, shelo yomar mor hageshem. However, you just make sure not to say mor hageshem in the summertime. And that's the law. So it could be that Tosis is alluding to the common minhag Ashkenaz, that in the summertime, we don't say mor hatal, because ain't paid the lomar mor hatal. Could also be that Tosis is alluding to the psak that many Sephardic Rishonim advocate, that we do say mor hatal in the summertime, but ain't paid it. Meaning whether you say it or not, you're still yosid ishmon esrei. We're not so particular about it. Again, the bottom line Ashkenazic minhag, is generally not to say Maratal, with some Rishonim recommending that you should, because this way you will be able to be in a greater position of not having to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei in the wintertime, because you will have said Maratal by default. And as we'll learn later in the Tosas Bez Hashem on the next daf, that if you say Maratal in the wintertime, you don't have to go back. Now Tosas elaborates in the Halacha, Vim lo amar b'mosak shamim, ki im Maratal geshem. If in the wintertime you only said Maratal geshem, and you didn't say the more usual formula of Mashav HaRuach Maratal geshem, v'dileg Mashav HaRuach, and you skipped Mashav HaRuach, u'Maratal, ein machzirim. Then you don't go back, because as the Gemara says, that the mentioning of Ruach is not crucial. Tosis' Nusach sounds like that in the wintertime they would say Mashav HaRuach, Umor Ratal, Umor Geshem. Some of the Achronim note that it's hard to imagine that Tosis had that practice against standard Minhag Ashkenaz, and therefore they take out the words Umor Ratal, and therefore Tosis would read, Vim lo amar b'mosak shamim ki'im Umor Geshem, v'dileg Mashav HaRuach, ein machzirim. That if the wintertime you only said Umor Geshem and you skipped the words Mashav HaRuach, then you would not have to go back, which is indeed the halacha. The Gemara points out, again from the episode of Eliyahu HaNavi, that Tal never stops. So now Tosis has somewhat of an agadic tangent concerning Gidon and explaining how you see from the Diyuk of Psukim within the episode of Gidon the Shofet that Tal indeed never stops, even if a tzaddik wanted it to stop. Umishim Hachi, say Tosis. As a result of this teaching that Tal never stops, Nirad appears to Gabi Gidon, the Shofet, who saved the Klal Yisrael from the Midyanim, Kisha Omar, Al Ha'oretz Yeh Tal, Valagiza Yeh Chorev, Ksiv Vayas Kane. What's the context? So first the Bach just amends the Tosis to align itself more with the accurate text of the Pasuk, that Gidon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehina Chorev El Hagiza Levada, Val Kol Ha'oretz, Yeh Tal. So, meaning that let there be dryness on the shearings of the wool that were outside in his chatzer, in his courtyard, and all the rest of the land will have dew. So, the wool won't get wet from the dew because there won't be dew on it, and the rest of the land will have tal. So, this is version of the pasuk because it's switched, so it's lav dafka, not precise. So this was one of two things, we'll see the second one in a moment, that Gidon was asking for a divine sign that he would be successful in fighting against the Midianites. So concerning that, the Tanakh testifies, Ksiv, fourth line of Tosfos, Vayas came, that Hashem did that, that the wool was dry, there was no tal, and all the rest of the land was wet from the dew. Aval, however, Tos now contrasts it with Gidon's second request. Kisha Omar al Ha'oretz Yechorev, Vala Giza Yetal. He asked for a second sign that the whole land should be dry, there should be no dew on it, and the dew should only be on the sheep shearings. So there the text says, Ksiv Vayichain, not Vayaskain, but Vayichain. Not that Hashem did that, but it was that. Why the distinction? Kilomar. That means the Al Hagiza Hoyahatal, going on the immediate antecedent, that Gidon asked that it should be dry on the whole land, and on the shearings it should be tal, and on that it says Vayihichain, that there was tal on the Giza, and there was also tal on the rest of the land. Earlier it says Vayaskain, and he did that, meaning it was going on everything, that the Giza was dry and the land was wet. But concerning the request that the land should be dry and the Giza should be wet with tal, there it says Vehichain, only going on the Giza being wet, but the land was also wet. Kilomar, meaning Tosis now elaborate. Dala Giza Hoya Tal, Avaloksi Vayaskin, it doesn't say Vayaskin, Mashma Dala Oretz Hoya Tal, it was due. Hashem did not directly follow what Gidon had requested, and he still kept up to do on the rest of the land. The Tal Lo Metzar, as our Gemara points out. So now Tosis comment, Ad kan ben nusach shalafonai. This is what I have in the version in front of me. What version? So, presumably, Tos is driving it. Had a collection of Midrashim. And possible, maybe, Ramosha Darshan that Rashi quotes, or some other collection of Midrashim. And explaining, based on a Diyuk in the Psukim, and proving this idea that Tal does not stop. Now, Inyan L'Inyan, Tos now quotes another Medrash, even though this is not directly related to Tal not stopping, but it's related to the Gidon episode. Od Matsasi, I also found, perhaps in that same collection of Midrashim, Kisha Amru al Kol Ha'aretz Yeh Tal, when Gidon had requested the first time that the whole land should have dew, but not the Giza. Ksiv, Vayas Elikim Kain. Okay, as we saw earlier, that Hashem did so. But it doesn't just say Vayas Kain, as Tosis excerpted earlier, but it says Vayas Elokim Kain, that Hashem did that. using the name of Hashem. Uvashamar Taliel Agiza, the second request of Gidon, that the sheep shearing should get wet with the tal, levado alone, valkol aretz yeh chorev. The Bach takes out the word yeh, just valkol aretz chorev, aligning itself with the pasuk, that the whole land should not have tal. So there, ksiv, vayihiche, doesn't say, vayas elokim kein, doesn't mention the shame of Hashem. Tosis make that explicit, velohizkir bazeh Hashem isbarach, doesn't mention the name of Hashem. Why? The tamo, and the reason is, asher omar ki uzeh. The reason is, as I shall state, this is a poetic use of the famous pasuk in Mishpatim, Batamod v'miktsos, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. The following reason, that Hashem's name is mentioned in the first request, where Gidon said that there should be tal over the land, but not on the Giza, but not in the second request, where he said that tal should be on the Giza, not on the land. Ki ein Hashem yizbarach maskir shmo al hara'ah. Hashem does not mention his name on bad things. Ki im yiyeh chorev al kol haaretz, if it's dry on the whole land, Haisa ra'as yoshveba. That would be bad for the ones who dwell in it because they don't have tal and it wouldn't be beneficial for the crops. Uksiv, and it's written, b'chol makom asher azki eshmi, a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, every place I mention my name, avo elecha verachticha, I will come and bless you. So on a pshat level, the way Rashi explains there, it means that anywhere that I will mention my name, meaning that my name, I will cause it to be mentioned, that people are davening or they're learning, so then I will come to bless you because you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on a drash level, that anywhere my name is mentioned, that's only in the context of bracha. But in the context of klala, in the context of bad things, Hashem's name is not mentioned. Hashem does not wish to be mentioned in that context. Tosfos continue. Av kasha amar al kol haaretz yeh tal, quoting that medrash that he had, that the whole land will have tal. So then it says, ksiv vayas Elokim, with the name of Hashem, because that's good. Having the earth be dry is not good. So there it says, vayichein, without the shem Hashem, having the land have tal, even if the Giza doesn't have tal, okay, that's not really bad. If Gidon's Giza is not wet, you don't need the wool to be wet. So there Hashem's name is mentioned. Tosfos now quotes from this medrash that he had other examples of that, where Hashem's name is mentioned only on the good. V'chidom alazeh, similar to this, in the very first few psukim of the Torah, Vayikro Elokim la'or yom, that Hashem called the light day, yom. V'lachoshech kor alayla. And to the darkness, he called it Laila. It doesn't say, V'lachoshech kor Elokim Laila. Tosfos state that explicitly. V'gavichoshech lo hizkir Hashem Yisborach. Concerning darkness, doesn't mention Hashem's name. V'chein b'chamisha dibros achronos. Concerning the last dibros. Milo sirtzach ve'elach. Where we have all kinds of averos. Negative commandments. Lo sirtzach, lo sinav, lo signov. As opposed to the first dibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Kavir Savicha. So there, lo hizkir Hashem Yisborach, doesn't say Hashem's name, because that's all in the bad. Killing, adultery, stealing, etc. Hakol holich hamokam echad, it's all going to one place, meaning it's all based on the same premise, that Hashem doesn't want to mention his name on the evil. I have to work on this, that the first five dibros also have some negative commandments. Lo yilachol him acherim al panai, and lo sisa Hashem Hashem agach lashav. So swearing is also evil. So, but Hashem's name is mentioned, but perhaps there is no choice because that's to define the issa. Losisa Hashem Hashem kechal hashav, that you're not allowed to swear by Hashem's name in falsehood. So you can't omit Hashem's name, otherwise you're not going to have the avera. Okay, ktsat sarachin as to how Tosfos has worked that out. Swearing is also evil, but could be that day you need to have the Shem Hashem for clarity. But in Losirtzach, Hashem doesn't mention his name that I'm commanding you that you shouldn't kill because he doesn't want you to mention his name in the context of evil. Now, Tosfos quote, a mashal that this medrash gives, mashal ha-melech, shabana dira noah, that he built a beautiful dwelling place, ve'iniach letzayer migino lefnei kol chad v'yabayis, and he allowed them to paint his shield, the coat of arms, on all of the, or in front of all of the rooms of the house, zulasi ve'sakise, but not, you don't have a coat of arms on top of the bathroom, mokamatin if the place is dirty. So too, when dealing with sin and evil, Hashem doesn't want his shield, so to speak, his name, mentioned in that context. Hashkafically, outside of just the fact that Hashem's name is not mentioned, this could be alluding to a very deep concept within divine providence, and it needs a lot of iyun and a lot of omek and a lot of depth, where there are indications that the dark yashgocha, in terms of when evil occurs in the world and when good occurs in the world, are fundamentally different. That the good is brought about directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the bad is brought about only indirectly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. that Hashem created a system of malachim and teva, and that the evil is brought about through that system that Hashem created. And the good is brought about more directly by HaKadosh Baruch. Again, that needs a lot of limud, because obviously, anachnu maminim emunah shleima, that Hashem always runs the world for the good and the evil, as we say in the Kriyat Shema, the Birchas Kriyat Shema, Yotze Or, Uvori Choshech, Osi Shalom, Uvori Es HaKol, the original Pasuk in Yeshaya, Uvori Ra, that Hashem is in charge of everything and creates everything, and that's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Midas HaRachmim, Midas HaDin, that it's all Hashem Echad, it's all from the same source. But that said, there are many Makaris that indicate that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachul brings it about is in a more direct manner with respect to the good, and hence one could understand Tosis's proofs in the Medrash that Hashem's name is mentioned in the context, and the evil is brought about, so to speak, in our limited way of understanding these things more indirectly, and perhaps that is indicated by the fact that Hashem's name is not mentioned in those contexts. As a footnote to the Tosfos, at first glance, the two parts of the Tosfos seem to directly contradict each other. The first part of the Tosfos assumes that even though Gideon asked in the second request that there not be tal on the land, but that didn't happen, as evidenced by the fact that it says Vayichem. But in the second part of the Tosfos, he points out that when Gideon requested that the tal not fall on the land, it says Vayichem and doesn't say Hashem's name, because Hashem doesn't want to have his name associated with evil. But if in the end, Hashem caused the tile to fall on the land anyway, contrary to Gideon's request, and the only thing that happened was that the Giza also got wet, so then why would that be evil? And why does it have to say Vayhi Chayn? It could have said Vayas Hashem Kain as well. So at first glance, it seems to be contradictory. Indeed, the Maratz Chayes quotes that both of these Midrashim are mentioned in a somewhat different form in the Al Kachimoni. And if you look at the Al Kachimoni, it sounds like that they're contradicting each other. The one pshat is that the tile actually fell against Gideon's request. And the other pshat is that it didn't, and that's why Hashem doesn't have his name mentioned for that. That on that one day, the tile indeed didn't fall. So perhaps, to unify the words of Tosis protects himself by saying, within the context of the second part, Tosis writes about five lines off from where it gets wide, Ki im yihye chorev al kol haaretz hoysa ras yoshri bo. The literal translation of that is that if it would be dry on the land, then it would be evil for the ones who dwell there. So perhaps Tosis is saying, a chiddush, that even though in the end that did not happen, and there was tile on the ground, but since the request was that there should not be tile on the ground, and if that request would have been fulfilled, that would have been evil. So even in that context, Hashem does not wish to have his name mentioned. And therefore it says Vayichain instead of Vayas Elokim Kain. And hence the two parts of the Tosfos can indeed be compatible.